talking about the Jimmy Savile story, talking about why people don't report abuse. And, dare I say, understanding a hell of a lot more than we did, or I did, at 11 o'clock about that. Joe's in Crouchend. Joe, hello.
Hello.
What's on your mind, mate?
Yeah, I've been listening to your programme from earlier on about this sort of abuse thing, and I was abused when I was younger. Not in this country. I wasn't born in this country. And this was from when I was less than 10 years old.
Okay.
And the first time I ever told anyone about it was last year. I told my mum about it.
Can I ask how old you are now?
I'm 28, I'm 29 this year.
Really? So you wasted the best part of two decades before you could talk to anybody about it?
Yeah, the thing is as well, like, it's... it kind of came out in an argument. Me and my mum had an argument, and throughout frustration and all that, I just kind of came out with it. I don't know, it's crazy. I'm just even trying to speak to you about it. It feels weird because I've never ever told anyone. I mean, I heard it happened to women and stuff like that, but I'm not condoning it. But I'm a dude. I'm a guy. So it feels a whole lot worse that something like this actually happened to me, which is part of the reason I've never told anyone.
I understand. You heard Daniel though earlier, didn't you? You heard Daniel talking to us.
I've heard him, but he's like one of the first guys I've ever heard actually come out and say what happened to him and stuff like that. And even the person that actually done it to me, this memory, this whole memory of the whole thing, I've still got the memory of the whole thing from, I don't even know if it's day one, but I've got memories. I remember where the guy's house is. I remember how far it is away from mine. I mean, I've looked on Google Maps back in my country at my old house, and I could actually see this guy's house. I blatantly remember. It's almost something that I can't escape. And I think, in a way, it feels like it was responsible for some of my behavior when I was younger. I mean, I'm not condoning anything that I've done bad, anything that I
understand what you're saying. You mean that maybe some of the trouble you got into was because you were angry and you were bottling a lot of stuff up and you had an awful lot of unhappiness inside you caused by this man?
Yeah. I told my mom about it, and it's like she was a bit emotional about it at first, but I mean, since I told her, it's the last time I've seen her. She ain't phoned me. Just after Christmas, a few days after Christmas, she called my brother, and my brother went round to her house and stuff like that, but she hasn't called me or anything. I know she told my cousin, because he tried to talk to me about it once, and I wasn't really interested. I kind of got upset, and I kind of left, but it feels like her not even talking to me anymore, her not even phoning me or anything, it feels I can't even explain.
You feel abandoned?
Yeah, in a sense.
You feel almost as if things got worse after you talked about it?
I don't know. It's like since all this happened.
Yeah.
I was young. I was very young. I come to this country when I was 10, and it's like I've always been trying to, I don't know, in a sense, man up.
I understand.
Man up about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
You try to become the man.
I try
to whom this could never have happened. This could never happen to a big man like me.
Happened to, but it happened to me. I don't talk about it, but it happened to me, and it's like lately I'm starting to feel like, I don't know, probably one of the reasons I called, because even before I called, I wrote a text message, and I mean, like, I deleted text message, and I thought about calling, I went and done a job quickly, and then I came back and sat back in my car, and I'm thinking, should I call? Because I don't know. It feels better talking about it when I'm actually not in front of the person that I'm talking to. Like, I'm a man. I look like a very manly man. And
you sound like a very manly man, for what it's worth.
I like to feel like a man, but this thing here, half the time,
it doesn't change. It doesn't change the fact that you are a man. I'm not going to keep saying manly man, because it sounds like the theme tune to Two and a Half Men on the television, the Charlie Sheen TV.
But
it doesn't change. It doesn't change who you are today. What the reason
that
I think?
It affected me in certain ways that I've been trying to pinpoint ways that it's affected me, but actually can't pinpoint ways, because at the end of the day, after all of that, I mean, I've got into trouble, I've ended up in prison and stuff like that. I came back out, I've done the rehabilitation in prison, and when I came back out, I mean, I got a job and stuff like that. My first job when I came back out was £25 a day. That wasn't even going on with £200 a week. And it's like I brought myself up from those stages. I went to college, I trained, I mean, now I've got a good job. I've got kids and stuff like that, and the notion that if anyone ever was supposed to try stuff like that with my kids, I'm telling you, plain and straight right now, I would probably end up in jail for the rest of my life.
So would a lot of parents
just for the pure fact of the way that I feel, because I've got boys. You know what I'm saying? So
I
it's
do.
Just for the pure fact of the way that I feel, and think that if something like that could ever happen, if it does ever, I would definitely not be walking around free to do what I want anymore.
There's two things I need to say to you. The first thing I need to say to you is that you have done some things wrong in your life as an adult, but you did nothing wrong when you were a 10-year-old boy back at home. Nothing.
I came to this country when I was 10.
So even younger, even younger. The second thing is, just with regard to that observation, I'm a father, I have two little girls, I feel how you feel, but I also know that the best place for me to be, whatever happens to my family, is with my family. Whatever happens, the best place for me to be is with them. So the feelings sometimes lead us into strange places, but the reason why you've got this bottled up inside you, and the reason why you feel better now that you're talking about it to someone who you can't see, is because it cannot do any good while it festers within. It adds to the idea in your mind that you were somehow to blame or at fault, or that you did something to deserve what happened to you.
It's crazy, because it's like at the time, even when I think about it now, I wonder, where was my mouth? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I wonder where my speech go. How comes I never had any mouth. I don't understand it. Even this guy, he's connected with the family.
Sure.
But I don't know how. I mean, I would have to go back and bring people that used to live at our house or live with us, family members, to try to trace and know who, because it wasn't a big community. I mean, it is probably the size of, I don't know, Leicester Square?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a small community. So, I mean, if I was supposed to go back with family members and people that lived there, I mean, I'm sure they would have an idea what the connection was with this guy. But this guy, he was able to come to our house. He knew my grandma, and because that's who I grew up with. But I can't put my finger on what connection this guy had with the family, but he had a connection that he could actually come
up. This is what these men do.
I don't know. I wish I kind of knew the connection, but I don't know the connection.
But you're talking about a sophisticated older man using the full power of his brain and intellect to do bad things and cover his tracks, and you're expecting a 7 or an 8 or a 9 year old boy to be able to do battle with somebody like that? You can't. You never had a chance.
I don't know, man. Listening to your program earlier on, I was all feeling a little bit angry. I was driving with a little bit of rage. I mean, I spoke to you now, I feel slightly a bit better.
Good.
But I'm still this bit confused. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm talking to you. I don't know.
You need to talk.
Yeah.
You tried to talk to your mum. Your mum couldn't listen, could she? And I think you as a parent can maybe understand why, up to a point.
Man.
She'll feel guilty too. She'll feel responsible.
I don't think I would want to keep it behind closed doors if something like that happened to my kid. I mean, I would so want to know, because I think it's a thing where I would want to get revenge. Revenge for this whole situation is actually in my mind.
That's crazy. What are your little boys going to do if their dad is on a charge?
I don't know, but what are they?
Answer the question. What are your little boys going to do if their dad is on a murder charge or a serious assault charge? What are they going to do?
Probably end up worse.
Yeah. Best thing you can be, the man that you are.
It's crazy. Cause I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. There's no point of it being worse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying, but it's mad.
But you are a strong man. You have come through something that I don't know I could bear. People listening to you talk now think you are brave and strong and all the macho masculine stereotypes that we subscribe to as young men. You fulfill them by going through hell and standing tall at the end.
I know exactly what you're saying. Like, yes, I agree. I went through all of it, and still I'm a man out here no matter what. But it's that rage over the whole situation.
You need to talk to someone else, not just to an idiot on the radio, Joe. You need, let me can I read you some texts that have come in while you've been talking, or do you not want me to do that?
No, go ahead.
Listen to this. There's a young man telling his heartbreaking story on LBC. He ended up in jail because of this and still blames himself. He's so brave. He's the bravest of all your callers today. I want to hug him. He needs to properly talk to someone to help him. My heart is crying for this young black brother who was abused. Tell him that he is brave, that it wasn't his fault, that he is a hero for talking on the radio.
Who is he talking about?
You fool. This is one of the bravest men I've ever heard speaking anywhere, let alone on the radio. Your program and this caller have genuinely changed my life. I will take action. I am one of many, I suspect. I feel so much sadness for the guy talking to you now. It must have been so hard for him to open up after all these years. He must stay strong and feel proud of himself. I'm sure his mum cares, but doesn't know how to help, what to say, and probably feels guilty too. That's from Georgia in Shenley.
I say thank you for all those people for your kind.
This work. Young man is so strong. Well done to him. Please tell Joe to stop the hurt. Don't pass the anger on. He is making perfect sense. Kellyanne says, I am a man, and he puts it in capital letters like you did when you started talking, and tears are welling up in my eyes over this phone call. You did nothing wrong. Ever.
I know. I know.
You did nothing wrong. Nothing wrong.
I know. I never, but I wonder where the hell was my mom. I wonder why she don't call me. My mom, she don't. Why? I don't know.
She's just another human being, John. Another human being with flaws and failings.
I'm gonna go, man. I'm gonna go.
Will you just look after yourself?
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go.
All right.
Thanks a lot for listening.
Well, thank you for talking. I'm massively impressed by you. I think you're a remarkable man. I hope you can see at least some of the reasons why so many people listening to this think that as well this afternoon.